Let's open up the scriptures to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The title of this talk is Forgiveness. Forgiveness is such an important aspect of our walk, and we need to be reminded of that every now and again. So hence this talk. So I'll read a couple of scriptures. I think what's important, and it leads on to other ones that I'm going to read out, is what God's done for us. So if we can somehow grasp that, it can then help us to forgive others. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Excuse me. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses or their sins, you know, not throwing them back at them and saying, well, look, you're a sinful person, I can't deal with you, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so, at the start there, it refers to he's made us a whole new creature. You know, as Marilyn said in her testimony, she wanted to make all things new, all things right. You know, like that old creature was not good. You know, but God has made us through Christ, through the Spirit, a new creature. It's a phenomenal miracle. And then at the end, that last verse there, he said, we were the sin. We embodied sin. We had this great big barrier that we'd formed between us and God. But he sent his own son to make him sin for us, that we may be made righteousness, that we may be free, that we may, through the Spirit, be seen as perfect. You know, his own son was perfect, who knew no sin, but God made him sin for us, that we may now be God's own children. The righteousness of God in him is now the righteousness of God in us. We are this whole new creature, this whole new spiritual creature, because of what God did by sending his own son to die for us. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 1. And you hath he quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You know, like chasing the wind, you know, following whatever doctrine you want to follow. You're just following, doing that which was right in your own eyes. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past. All of us sitting here were like that once. In the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, or the children of anger, you know, the children of consequence, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay, we have the Spirit in us now. We have this incredible discernment of what's right and wrong. And so it grieves us, and we grieve the Spirit in us when we do something wrong, because we've got this sensitivity about us now. And so we understand through the flesh how rotten we are, and yet somehow he's made us alive, and in verse 6, has raised us up together with Jesus Christ, that we can sit in heavenly places, okay, in perfection. He's raised us up somehow, forgiven our sins. We were dead once. He's made us alive, and he's done that phenomenal thing. Last one to introduce, Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Okay? So what it's saying there is our natural way of things, our natural course of actions, you know, was towards sin. That was our natural. That's what it says there, that you know, which was contrary to us. What it's saying is he blotted out our ordinances, which was contrary to us, so we'd follow a different path. So this is the path that was natural for us to follow toward death and sin. As a result of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, he's made it possible for a path that's contrary to us to follow. Righteousness, forgiveness of sins, life and not death. You know, circumcision, not uncircumcision. What that means is, you know, cleanliness before the Lord, a clarity of mind, a desire to follow his ways. Whereas before, we're under this shadow. And it's like Marilyn was saying about that light bulb moment. When she was describing, I was thinking, yeah, her scales have fallen off her eyes, you know. She's starting to see the path that God wants her to follow instead of seeing what her own desires are and that which is right in her own eyes. And this is what Jesus has done. He's blotted out the sins. He's forgiven us. The sins that we had in us led to death, right? That's important. As we read another scripture later, I want you to understand that the path we were going was to death, to the grave, to hell. Now, as a result of Jesus' sacrifice, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we are now alive in Christ. Our path is to heaven, you know, to where God dwells, as on the right hand of God. You know, that's our path now. It's a very weighty matter that God has forgiven us of. So Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18 and verse 21. Then came Peter unto him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Now, I don't know where Peter got this number seven from, whether it was an aspect of the old law or it was something that he picked up along the way. But he's obviously of this mindset that, yeah, okay, I'm a very forgiving person. You know, I reckon seven times is a lot, and it is. Dinkum, if some person kept doing the same thing wrong against you over and over again, you'd think, well, seven's it. You know, that's a lot. You know, fair dinkum. So Peter reckoned, yep, seven's good. We'll stop there. But then look at Jesus' response. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Yeah. Few people know that. We know this 490 times. In other words, just keep going. Just keep forgiving them if they come back. So we'll read on. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made, you know, to pay back that debt. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Okay, and that's what Jesus has done for us. You know, we had this weight on our shoulders, you know, this horrible debt before God that was leading to death, you know, and he forgave us. He lifted that weight of debt from off our shoulders. And that 10,000 talents, I'm sure you've all heard, is just a phenomenal amount that's impossible to pay back. And us, as we were, it was impossible for us to pay that debt back. but he forgave us. And then we go on, verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. It's like what Peter was referring to, you know, like this person coming back, repenting, oh, please, you know, give me time. And so then you forgive him. And Peter was just going to limit that at 7, but Jesus said, nope, keep forgiving them if they keep coming back. Verse 30, but he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Okay? Whatever anybody does to us here on earth pales into utter insignificance compared to the weighty thing that God has forgiven us of. Okay? Everything pales into insignificance. Now, it can be tough, but here it's such an important warning, as it says there in verse 35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother. So let us try to forgive, because if we don't, you know, there's some dire consequences. You know, God's got forgiveness in his hand. And if we don't follow that example, because I've often thought about this, put it into today's circumstance and tried to relate to the servant that went back and demanded the 100 pence from his fellow servant. And you can imagine today, you know, like if you're working for a multinational company, you know, that, you know, has got billions of dollars in their pocket and you have a debt to them, and then it's a large debt that you could never pay back, and they forgive that debt, but then you go off because you're behind in your rent, you can't pay your food, you know, you're just destitute and poor, and someone owes you $100, and then you wring their throat to pay back the $100. But in your mind, you might be thinking, oh, that's a multinational company, you know, oh, they've got plenty of money, you know, the little bit of money that I owe them is nothing, right? But that doesn't matter. Like, the mindset here is, you know, what God's saying, you're being forgiven that phenomenal debt. Like, it's God that forgave us of the sin. Yeah, God sent his own son to forgive the sins of the whole world. You know, like, that's the phenomenal sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But he's still forgiven us of all our sins. And so we should then forgive those that do wrong against us. Don't get me wrong, it's tough. You know, we still live in the flesh, but we have this mindset to try to forgive those, because it's still such a small thing compared to what God's done for us. And this is the aspect that God wants us to remember as we're going about our lives here on earth. And rubbing shoulders with spirit-filled people who still are in the flesh. And we have that mindset to forgive our brother their trespasses as God has also forgiven us. Back to chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6. You know, like a reason for not forgiving someone is there was a consequence to your life. You know, oh, this is what happened in my life because they did this, this, and this. Well, it's still a small matter compared to what God forgave us of, you know. It's still a thing of the earth. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You know, that's so full on. You know, it's a wonderful freedom in verse 14. It's glorious. It's beautiful. You know, we go about on our lives here and we're forgiving people their trespasses or their wrongs that they've done against us. You know, and then it's brilliant. It's great. You know, God is also forgiving us. But the flip side is, if we can't, from our hearts, as we read before, forgive others of the wrong against us, then God won't forgive us of our sins. Whew! That's pretty serious stuff. So it's something we all need to get right in our life. You know, we want God to forgive us. We want to be perfect in God's eyes through the Spirit. We want that. You know, we want to be raised up to meet the Lord in the air. We don't want him to hold on to the sins that we've committed. So let us forgive others as well. You know, that important part of the prayer there says, you know, lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, like deliver us from evil. Deliver us from these things that can happen in our life. Over to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 41. And why beholdest thou the mote or the splinter that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam or whopping great big plank that is in your own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam that out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Okay, so you can tell someone by their fruits. You know, it's an aspect that's quite common in the Bible, and we can apply that. You know, that someone may seem a certain way, but you can look at their fruits and know truly what's in their heart and what they say. But this whole thing about this splinter and this plank in the eye, and that you remove that so that you can see clearly. So this whole thing here is introducing this aspect of judgment. Oh, they did wrong against me. You know, I can't forgive them because what they've done is so wrong and bad, and the consequences in my life are just phenomenal. You know, this whole thing of judgment then comes here. And so if you behold this thing in someone else's life that is wrong, you know, and the Lord here is saying it's like a little splinter. It's a small part of their life. You know, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They are perfect through the Spirit before God. So why aren't they perfect through the Spirit to you? So you see, you notice this little thing, this splinter in their eye. And what the Lord's saying is, because you're focusing on that little splinter, it turns out you've got a big plank in your own eye. Your vision is totally off because this thing is blown out of proportion. So what the Lord's saying is, look, pray about it. Get rid of the plank out of your own eye. Then you'll notice it's just a tiny little splinter in their life. It's a small thing. It's a small thing that stays here on earth. It's not a thing that goes up to heaven. And we are spiritual creatures now. And so putting things into perspective, realizing where to place things in your life. So that then you can realize it's just a little splinter. We're all in the flesh. We all embody sin. We all do things wrong. We don't know the backstory. We don't know the whole build-up to how they acted. We don't know any of that. All we know is a little splinter. So the Lord's saying, remove the plank out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly. And then you're in a position where you can forgive. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Okay? So when I was reading the scriptures before, it's mostly about the individual and them overcoming and realizing that, yes, it's just a splinter in their eye and I need to forgive, so I'm right with God so that he forgives us. But this verse here, if that then becomes a root of bitterness, this is where I start getting concerned, you know? And the whole church gets concerned, because when there's that root of bitterness, it springs up, troubles the person, and thereby many are defiled. So let's nip it in the bud, right? We don't want others to be defiled. We want the church to be one body in Christ, one vision. You know, we're all following the same path. Let not the root of bitterness that springs up within an individual because they can't forgive, because they've lost perspective, you know, let not that then affect others and splinter the assembly, because we want to be together. We want to have joy and peace before the Lord. And so this is when we all start getting particularly concerned if someone is not in a position to be able to forgive. So when we read the verses before it, back in verse 5, we'll start. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Okay? Chastening's not good, but what it's saying is encouraging us that to remember, as it starts there, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. So let us remember the encouragement. It's actually encouragement. The scriptures are here for encouragement, to encourage us to be right with God and to walk a straight path. So remember the encouragement. And then it goes on, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. You know, we all need to be knocked into line every now and again. Nobody is immune from that. Nobody. And so despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint, nor grow weary when thou art rebuked of him. Okay? Like, oh, not again. Not again. No, you just like, you stay strong and realize that it is actually for our better. For whom the Lord loves, okay, and we want the Lord to love us. He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receives, and we want to be received. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards or illegitimate children and not sons. And we want to be part of that. We want to be part of the family. We don't want to be left aside. You know, you can imagine the natural sense, you know, a large family and there's one person that the father kind of doesn't get along with. So pushes him aside. Oh, no, I'm not going to bother with him, you know, but he looks after the others in the family. We want to be in the family. We want to be dealt with as our father wants to deal with us, to teach and grow. And the only way, mostly, we can be taught and grow is to be whipped into line every now and again. So despise not that, because we want to be his own dear sons or children. You know, we're all sons. You know, we all have the same inheritance. We're all through the Spirit. We're sons before God. Verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Okay? So if you revere your own natural father, why don't you revere your spiritual father? Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, i.e. God, it's for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. Stop moping about, you know? Yeah, it hurts. And it's the opposite of encouraging. It's discouraging, thank you. pretty tough, is it? Yes, it can be very discouraging. I mean, I've been there. It's like, oh, why bother, you know? But what it's saying here is lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, you know, lift up. Okay, Praise the Lord. I was chastened by God. He cares for me. You know, he wants me to thrive. He wants this tree to bear good fruit. He's lopping off dead branches. You know, he's purging me. You know, that refining fire. Praise the Lord. He cares for me so much that he wants me to grow. So lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. I have a saying that most people that know me are a bit annoyed at. But in other words, dry your eyes. Get off the grass. You know, lift up and look to the Lord. Verse 13, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Okay? But let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Okay, so here's that forgiveness bit. Follow peace with all men and holiness, realizing that we're separate, we're different. We're different to the other people that don't follow God. We're different there. There's no retribution, you know? How do we define retribution? What level? We don't know everything. So let us trust the Lord. Trust the Lord and carry on following his ways, making our paths straight. Lift up your head, putting things into perspective, getting that plank out of your eye, realizing it's a small thing. And then we can look diligently to the Lord. Luke chapter 6. Back to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, and down in verse 46. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I'll show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. We want this house to stand. We want it to be solid on the rock. So let us grab hold of the whole scriptural principles and apply them in our life. You know, take that chastisement. Realize that there is a point to it. Realize that there's a bigger picture, and put these things into place so that then we are building our house on the rock and we will survive. We'll be there when the Lord comes back. We're not building our house on broken bits and pieces, just bits of the scripture that makes us feel good at the time, you know, and ignoring the ones that kind of impact us a lot and make us realize that what we've been doing is wrong, you know, but grab hold of the whole Bible and what's in there, all the Word of God. That's the rock, the complete rock, and then our house will stand. Then, okay, the rock's there. We need to dig deep down to that rock to build our house. You know, there's effort involved. Keep working through the Bible. Keep fellowshipping, talking about God, praying in the Spirit. Job chapter 42. Job 42. I've brought out a couple of scriptures in Job because that's the one I'm reading at the moment. Job chapter 42. And this is an important aspect of forgiveness here too. It's the last chapter of Job. There's a result of forgiving. There is freedom. And after I've read this, there's a natural example that I can explain. So Job chapter 42 and verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. You know, all these arguments Job had against God's ways and why God did things. You know, like it meant nothing. Things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. And then go over to verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. So when Job got to this point of humility and realizing that, yes, I need to pray for my friends, I need to forgive others as well, and I realize God's ways are higher than my ways. You know, what I see is this small part. I don't see everything else. You know, and realizing that. And then verse 10, you know, God gave Job twice as much as he had before. There was blessing to be poured out in Job's life, but it only happened after he was in a position to forgive and realize perspective, realize that they are just splinters in people's lives. And then these amazing blessings came. So let us forgive, try to forgive, try to do these things. Pray about it if you're struggling, because it opens up blessings in our life. And an example of that, you know, Second World War, the horrible things that that Japan as a nation did to people. I was heard about, you know, people in the US. There were some that went back to Japan and met their tormentors and forgave them. And then they went back home and they were happy, they were free. They were living this great life. Those that held, again, I can't think of the word. Grudges, yes, thank you. They held the grudge against them. They were it trapped them as an individual. The person in Japan didn't know. It was the one that couldn't forgive that wasn't free. But those that forgave were free and happy and carried on their life. And it applies the same in the kingdom of God. You know, let us be free and walk straight paths and forgive. So, because it impacts our life more than it impacts the other person's life. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. The penultimate scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and this is what we refer to here before. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers or the servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Okay, that's an important aspect. There's these mysteries, okay? We are stewards. We're representing the mysteries of God. And there are mysteries. There's mysteries that we don't even understand. But we're still carrying these mysteries of God. And we're representing them, sorry. Verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, okay? Paul didn't even judge himself. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us, not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. And when someone is in a point where they can't forgive, they're kind of puffed up. You know, they think themselves better than the other person. But I like verse 5, I'll read it again. It says, therefore judge nothing before the time. Okay, put on that cloak of humility and forgive, because then you're judging before the time. And it goes on, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things. You know, when those hidden things are brought to light, you'll then understand the whole picture. And you will understand the background story of why that person did that thing to you or said that thing to you. There's more to it. There's always more to it. Even the person themselves may not have understood. But those hidden things will be brought to light with time. And so in faith, it says there, God asks his stewards, who we are, to be faithful, to trust God that he's got it in hand. There are things we don't get, you know, but while we're here on earth, we realize that God's forgiven us of all our sins. So let us also forgive those two or three pence of when someone does something wrong to us. Last scripture, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, you know, putting up with one another regardless of their foibles, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. You know, praise the Lord that where we are and what he's done. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You know, and that's an important aspect there in verse 6. You know, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know, let it be abundant in you in all wisdom. Okay, and it says elsewhere, if you lack wisdom, then pray about it. But then it says here, we teach each other and we encourage one another with psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It's not pointing fingers. You know, oh, what are you doing that for? What are you doing that for? It's all about encouraging, admonishing one another, you know, teaching one another, being positive, you know, because we're being set free. It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know, let us have peace. That's what God wants. He's the God of peace. He wants us to be confident before him that we are righteous, that if we carry on walking in spirit and truth, we will be raised up, as will those other people that have splinters in their eye. So let us put this mind of Christ on, praying about the wisdom. You know, we are holy, we're beloved, putting in bowels of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. It's an important thing for us to forgive others more than the other person. And we acknowledge that as well. It's also important to God, because if we're forgiving others, he's forgiving us also. Okay, thank you.